Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
The healthcare world. Very, very important to all of us. It costs us a lot of money. We want to feel safe. We want to feel good. And in many ways, having good healthcare, bad healthcare, it's vitally important to your children, to yourself, and to your pocketbook. Being rich keeps you alive longer. Not a shock. I know that's weird, but it's not a shock. Healthcare is something that we pay attention to really over the last 8 years because of Obamacare. Because this thing came in, the Affordable Care Act, it's now becoming unaffordable for just about everybody but every small select group. And it became more about a law than it did about actual healthcare. Healthcare is important for a lot of reasons. Obviously, we want to all be healthy. We want to be able to go and see doctors, to access healthcare when and if we need it. God forbid we don't, but we all know that at some point in time in our lives, we're going to run into issues where we're going to have to see a doctor for something as minor as an ingrown toe and nail to something as major as automobile accidents or, you know, cancer, whatever. It's no surprise when I read this new study out that rich people live longer. And it's not even close, by the way. It's not even close. Rich people, on average, live longer by almost a decade than people who are poverty-stricken. And I don't like you say poverty-stricken. I think that's stupid. You're not stricken with something, like, right? You get stricken by lightning. You get stricken by cancer. Poverty, you don't get stricken. You're not walking down the street, boom, I got struck by poverty. What the hell? I was doing okay, but now I'm struck by poverty? Are you kidding me? It doesn't happen that way. People always say that. Poverty-stricken. It's not. But as I've always tried to say to you guys, healthcare is one of those things where progressives and liberals and Democrats will use it as a great equalizer to be equal with the wealthy. That's the whole point, right? This is something we can all have now. Now, I am of the belief that we can do several different things. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. Most people don't understand that because we are an all or nothing world that we live in. We're all this and we're all that. We're nothing in between. But it's been used to be the great equalizer. Well, you've got this and you've got this and both of you guys are the same. It's not. It's not. First of all, when they looked at this study, and again, it's scary. Think about this. People who are wealthy, people who are rich, people who are upper middle class will live on average. Men, 10 years longer. For women, it's about 8 years longer than people who are poor. That's scary. And it's a lot of things. It's not just about access to great health care. It's access to several different things. Better eating habits. Because let's be real. It's expensive to eat well. Right? Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, all of these, you know, high-end grocery stores with all the, you know, farm-to-table kind of stuff. That stuff's expensive. It ain't cheap. It's cheap to eat poor and poor to eat cheap. By that, I mean, it's easy, man. $5. Yesterday, we went to a Little Caesars, got a pizza. We were all hungry. It's like $8. You feed a family for that. It's cheap. It's easy. There's a lot of things that go into this. It's not just singularly the rich have access to better health care. Yes, that's true. They do have access to better health care because they have money. But the truth is they're healthier before they get to the doctor because by and large, they're able to take care of themselves in much better ways. Some of that has to do with the fact that they're also more disciplined in a lot of ways. You know, people who are rich are usually disciplined. It's not just singularly about, well, they've got better doctors. And that's what I try to tell people. Say we all need this because then it'll be equal. It's all about distribution, spreading out the wealth, doing these kind of things. Let me tell you something. The minute we go single payer, know this, the wealthy will have the best doctors. Because best doctors want to work for the wealthy. Lower workload, more money. You decide. Yeah. When I was reading this, though, it's so interesting to find out that the poor and their lives are shortened by about 10 years. And they want to point to a lot of these things as, you know, this is the American Journal of Public Health. They want to point to, well, it's this or it's that. The truth is there's so many things that go into it. First of all, in poverty-stricken areas, you also have a high tendency for violence, which will bring the, what? It brings the number down. Secondly, poor eating habits, zero discipline, more smokers, more drinkers, et cetera, et cetera. It's not just that. It's also a it's not only a socioeconomic thing. It's a societal thing. And I found this to be interesting because we are getting ready to figure out what we're going to do with Obamacare. Are we going to unravel it fully? Which potentially could go wrong. You ever had one of those things where you've got like a little spring in something, and if it happens to come out, it just goes. You know, maybe you've had a fishing reel and it got cut up and something happened to it and it's. That's the potential of what this could be. That's the potential. Now, the Republicans said, look, we're going to, and I have to give them the benefit of the doubt here, that they're going to roll this out in a way that it's not going, and roll this thing back, that it's not going to blow up in our faces. But potentially, we could see another 30 million people, most of which who are on subsidies, asked out. Look, if you're a conservative, if you're a person who is as conservative as I am, especially when it comes to fiscal side stuff, yeah, I'm sick and tired of us paying for a lot of stuff, but I'm also sick and tired for what we get. I'm sick and tired of bureaucracy. I'm sick and tired of administrative fees and all the things that go into what happens with our health care, because our health care isn't health care. Our health care is administration at the end with a white coat. That's really what it is. We have seen a rise in health care that is tremendous, especially over the last 12 months, and it's going to continue to rise. We are seeing more and more people who are opting out and rather pay the fee because they know they can get around something. And what we're seeing is less and less good care. This thing shocked me today, not because of the fact that there's a difference in age as far as life expectancy, but that the gap was so wide. When I read this article, and it's in the, Business Insider. When I read this article, it was one of those things where you started looking at this and you're like, wow, that is huge. But what they don't put in is all of the factors that go around this. I find this stuff real and interesting because many of us out there listening, you know you struggle with healthcare. You know you're trying to do all you possibly can. You've got to make some choices in life about how you pay for your health care. Now that it's going up, well, I might have to get rid of something. I might have to leave something. We all make these choices, and it sucks that we have to. It absolutely sucks that we have to. But it's not just about that. There are poor people that live a long time, and there are rich people that die early too. So we forget those things. But when I look at something like this, and of course the big headline is rich people live longer. But you never, it's a read between the line things. Remember what I always say, there's truth on both sides and in the middle is the absolute truth. Yes, rich people have access to better health care. Yes, rich people, wealthy people will have access to doctors that are good because they have the money to get to those doctors. They have the wherewithal, they have the means to get to those things. And many times the poor don't. But it's not just singularly that. What it doesn't talk about here, but you find inside the study, is people that are wealthy and people that are rich and people that are well-to-do, you know what they do? They see the doctor less than people who are poor. They don't go to the emergency room as much. They take care of themselves in a much better way. People often forget these kind of things. It's not a singular thing. But yes, being poor will cut years off of your life. Absolutely. The stress, the bad habits you fall into, the fact that it's much easier to eat bad food because it's cheaper. There's so many factors that go into it. We forget about this. But these things are important. And the reason they're important is because this is the world we live in now. Healthcare is front and center in what is going to be a battle in this economy. Because we all need to have healthcare. Right? We all do. Now, some young people don't. When I was young, I didn't always carry health care, but I felt, you know, you feel invincible when you're 21, when you're 22. When you're 35 and 40 and things stop working and hair's growing in places it's not supposed to be growing and all of a sudden you got to wear glasses to read or to watch the TV, you start thinking differently. But now with the cost of health care and the fact that many businesses are somewhat stepping aside or trying to figure out a way to skirt some of these things, this is going to become a bigger and bigger issue for all of us. If you want to, it's like everything else. You want to see rich people pass something on to people who are in the poverty levels and the lower middle class. See something that you pass on to them in a sense that they maybe actually take that knowledge and get better. I always talk about wealth, you know, teach a man to fish, right? That's the stuff you give somebody. This is the same kind of thing. You teach people how to eat healthy. You teach and not force them, teach them, show them. It's about discipline. And that's something you can take away from this article as well. It's about discipline. A lot of times people who are very successful, and by a lot of times, I would say 99.9% of the times that people are uber successful, it's because they're disciplined in their life. I'll tell you this right now. I go to bed about midnight. I'm up by 4:30. By 6 o'clock, Anthony and I have exchanged emails. And we by 7:30, I'm here almost every single day at that time. And we are off and running. And my show doesn't start till 3 o'clock Pacific time. So I am here almost 7 hours before my show is ready to go on the air. You would think it would sound better. But the fact is this is what we do. It's discipline. There's so many things to go into. It's the same kind of thing, though, with health. Are you disciplined enough? That's what I took out of a lot of this. They want to point to the rich have stuff. Yes, the rich have stuff. But stop pointing out what the rich have and what you don't. And yes, the rich eat better. They're more disciplined. They don't drink as much. They don't smoke as much. They don't do many of the bad things that a lot of other people do. And because of that, that's also a reason they live longer. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. 23. 75 years ago today. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Texts are coming in about the rich and health care. Get to some of those in a second. Mike, what's going on, man?
Hey, Chad, not much. How you doing?
I'm doing good, brother.
Hey, so I'm a self-employed electrician here in California, and about 90% of my clients that I work for are multimillionaires to mega millionaires. And so I'm around this wealth every day of that I work. When I work with these people, I've become really good friends with them, and I've been able to ask them for financial advice because they've obviously done well in life. And I don't expect a handout from these people, but it's really nice when they give me some advice, and I just feel that the wealthy shouldn't be overtaxed and have to support the poor, but I think we can learn a lot from wealthy. And like you said, discipline is one of the main things that they've taught me, is be disciplined about how much you save every month. If you're going to save $300 a month, be disciplined about it. And like you said, discipline is the number one virtue that they've taught me.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate your call. Thanks for holding on. I will tell you this. Grant Cardone is one of the big sales guys in the country, and he's kind of the new Zig Ziglar, a good guy. He said, if you want to be successful and you're in your 20s, start working 90 hours a week. You know what? You can't get 90 millennials to work an hour a week to make 90 hours a week. I work hard. People I work with work hard. Discipline is key. It is absolutely key to everything you do. And I don't think people understand that. And the one thing about the rich is we often see people who want to go for the richest money. But guess what? As it always happens, if you take their money and you give it to other people, You know what happens? You're going to come back and ask for more because those other people don't know how to nourish it, to nurture it, and then make it its own and profit off of it themselves. Because they take it, they spend it, it's gone. It's a one-time thing. It's a one-time. The thing is, just like everything else, teach people a healthy lifestyle. Say, look, you know, but a real healthy lifestyle, not just throwing crazy things out there. Because, you know, that's what we do, right? Like, we throw these insane things out there. You got to do this, and PX90, this, that, and the other. No, show people that you can make small differences in your life, and you watch what happens. It's the same thing with the rich, whether it be, you know, if you can teach the discipline, do this every single day. It'll work for you. Do it every single day. Work hard. Do this. It's insane. And I don't think people get that. Look, there's so much. And let me tell you something. Rich people love to talk about being rich and how they got rich. They like talking about themselves. Pass on the knowledge. Pass on the knowledge. That's the thing that's the richest thing they have. People don't understand that, though. People don't get that. It's about discipline and everything. And I guarantee you, they're disciplined in the way they live their lives. They're disciplined in the way. Is there some that are fat? Yeah, there's also poor people that are very fit. But by and large, when you look across the board, what do you see? People, well, they're good looking. They got everything going for them. You know why? Because they're disciplined. They work out. They do everything that they're supposed to do. They do it right. They're disciplined in what they do. That includes their health. That includes their work. That includes their life. And when doing that, you'd be surprised to find out how successful people can become. We piss that all away because rich people should just redistribute their wealth. Yeah, but them giving you something doesn't make your life any better. Them giving you the knowledge of how they made this can potentially make your life better if you have the discipline. But a lot of times people out there don't. They piss opportunities away because they're lazy. And if you're undisciplined at the trough, you're going to be undisciplined at work, then that poverty cycle will continue. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
The American dream, not as American as many people thought. And I don't mean that in a bad way. But the truth is, the Latino community is the fastest growing entrepreneurship per race, per ethnicity in the country. They're growing entrepreneurship faster than any other race. And in fact, many Americans feel the American dream is gone. People coming from around the world, they believe the American dream is here. Other people believe it's gone. For me, I think the American dream is always here. But you have to find out what the hell you want your dream to be. Right? Like, what do you want your dream to be? What is your dream? I don't know. I'm always confused about this because when I was a kid growing up, man, I thought, and you'd be anything you want to be when you grow up, right? You'd be president. You'd be president. You'd be anything you want to be. Somewhere along the lines, we have taken that away from everybody. You know who hurts that the most? Who hurts the most? The people that are poorest. The people that struggle to live just above or below the poverty line. You rob that from them by taking away our American dream. But you know what? People from around the world, especially the Latino community, the Hispanic community, have come here. And you know what they think? We can be anything we want to be. We heard this is the land where opportunities are not only made, they're taken. Oh. Yeah. They're growing faster than anybody else. And in fact, not only is it just the population that is growing, but the fact that they've got 4 million businesses that are owned by Latinos in this country. 4 million, and they have been huge in the boom that we've seen with the growth of this economy, albeit be small, but they're still a very small proportion of businesses that are owned by Latinos, about 4 million in the country comparatively to whites and even African Americans. But understand that this thing is booming right now. Why is that? Because they believe in the American dream. They believe in the American dream. They believe the dream is real. They believe opportunities are made, opportunities in here. Trump wants to build a wall, right? Like, that's Trump's thing. I'm building a wall. If you look at the statistics right now, Central America, they're not coming here like they used to. In fact, they look at Mexico as the opportunity right now. Mexico, there may be growth and opportunity to work. They're not coming to America like they used to. And a lot of that has to do with the fear of Trump. Because they don't know what's going to happen. Is he going to throw people out? Is he not going to throw people out? Oh, my God. But we need this kind of growth in this country. It's sad that Americans don't believe in the American dream. How do you not believe in the American dream? You can take anybody and you could show them a path to something. Some people will have to go up a steeper hill than other people. Some people only have to go over a step to get to where they want to get to. But the American dream is live and well. And what happened to us that we stopped believing in that? And why is it that other countries whose people escape from where they're going look at this place as the place where, yes, this is where magic and dreams can happen? Why do they believe it more than we do? That's what's crazy. But if you don't think the Latino community is in some way, shape, or form going to have an impact on what we're doing long-term in this country, understand this. Between 1990 and 2015, the Latino population grew from 22 million to 57 million. That doesn't include people that are here illegally. That's five times faster than the overall population. That right there is power. The median age for us crackers is 43%. For African Americans, right around the same. Latinos, 28. They're young. They have a belief. They have work ethic. Usually they're second or third generation, so mom and dad or grandma and grandpa are still around and they've built something. My grandfather came here from Mexico. He did it the right way back in the day. Became a citizen. Worked his butt off. My mother and my grandfather, the two hardest working people I've ever seen in my life. And my grandfather was so disciplined, you have no idea. He would wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning. He'd be on the road by 4:30 or 5. He'd get home at 6:30 or 7, and he did that 6 days a week. I mean, nonstop. Rain, sleet, heat. He was disciplined in doing those things. But he believed that this was a country where opportunities happen. Donald Trump wants to build a wall. That's his thing. He wants to build a wall so we can keep people out. People said, you have a problem with that? I said, you know what? First of all, I have a problem that I don't even think we're going to build a wall. Secondly, I have a problem with the way he framed it. I think we all did. I mean, anybody who is a right mind sound person. But I understood what he said and why he said it. But I look at this and I think to myself, why is it that somebody comes here from Korea? Somebody comes here from Cambodia? Somebody comes here from Laos? Somebody comes from China? Somebody comes here from Mexico or El Salvador, Honduras? Has a bigger belief in what America has to offer in the American dream than we do anymore. What happened to us? What? I mean, I'm curious. What in God's name happened to us? It's amazing that we are not growing the way that we should be entrepreneurial-wise. But you know one of the big things is? I think it's fear. I talk to people all the time, and a lot of them live in fear. They live in fear of failure. They live in fear of not being able to do what they want to do as far as, well, I want to start a business, but I'm not going to have enough money. They come up with 1,000 excuses, and it's fear. Then I think also, you know, we've gotten, you know, technology has made it so I think a lot of entrepreneurs, if they can't do it in the tech world, they're not going to do it anywhere else. But it's fear. They want stability, and they want to be able to get a paycheck every week, and they don't want to say, I'm going to risk it to win the biscuit, and if I fail, I fail, but at least I gave it a chance. Other people have already risked it to come here in a lot of ways. They've left behind, even if they've done it legally, family, friends, a life which they're comfortable and know to come here and make an effort for something. That, to me, is very admirable. I did that when I was young. I went to Europe. I did not succeed in the way that I wanted to, but you know what? It gave me an opportunity to see and do something, and out of that blossomed something else, a love for radio, a love for doing my voices. But it's fear. A lot of these people who come here from different countries, they have left a place where they lived in constant fear, where they lived in desperation, where they lived in a perpetual nightmare, and they come here because they believe this is the place where a dream can happen, and it's the American one. And the Latino community is showing us that. We need to, as a country, get back to having that entrepreneurial spirit. And I think with Donald Trump, I think that will be more evident than ever before in any of our last several presidents we've had, because he feels like the kind of guy that wants to push that. Hey, job creation isn't going to be just you waiting to get a job somewhere. It might be you creating a job for yourself, a career for yourself, something completely different. They're driving a lot of this engine right now. What happened to us? Why aren't we doing what we need to do? And what's going to happen if he wants to deport the 15 million? How does he go about doing that? That's a good question right there. There's a better way we can handle things, people. There is absolutely a better way that we can handle things. But it's going to be interesting to see what moves forward in this. But understand that, you know, we're a nation divided because of loud voices and angry mobs and groupthink and ignorance and fear when we shouldn't be. We should be a nation that's becoming more, not only inclusive, but stronger than we've ever been, because we've had more opportunities than we've ever had. But we've got to make it for ourselves. We've got to open the doors for ourselves. We've got to do these things. We have to do it right. Speaking of entrepreneurship, yes, there is a chance that people may be deported. We all know this very well. We all understand this. And even people in the Latino community have figured out a way to become entrepreneurial as the just-in-case scenario. Take a listen.
Entrepreneurial Services is here to help you. Professionally handling the grief and confusion that results when a loved one suddenly disappears and becomes quietly known around town as the Dearly Deported. When your beloved family member is rounded up and ejected from the only home they've ever known, like a payload of toxic waste shot into space, then we go into action. We take care of everything from hand-printed greeting cards explaining that your loved one has taken a little trip and may not be back anytime soon, to special memorial packages with free balloons and piñatas. And our professional grief counselors will help you plan your own exit strategy before the government steps in and makes you disappear too. Call 555-ACAPULCO-ICE. That's 555-ACAPULCO-ICE. Call in the next 30 minutes and get your very own chain link fence cutter manufactured in China by Trump Enterprises. ACAPULCO Memorial Services cares about your dearly deported. And we also care about you. Oh, and your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, cousins, nephews, nieces, half-brothers, half-sisters, and even that guy who lives in the basement who everyone calls Paco. ACAPULCO Memorial Services. When you're grieving the dearly deported and also need to cover your own ass.
The Chad Benson Show, Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Facebook, check it out, The Chad Benson Show. Clint just wrote me, hey, what's up? I'm listening to your show on my way home from work, and you were talking about the rich and healthcare. Love the topic. I think that more young people need to start picking up a book and learning how to be more productive and learn things. You mentioned Zig Ziglar. His books have a lot of value to people who are willing to learn. Zig Ziglar's greatest line, as far as I always remember, and this goes back to, you know, again, having that wherewithal to have discipline. He used to always say, the elevator to success is broken, but the stairs are always open. That's something to think about, kids. Something to think about. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
December 7th, 1941. A date which will live in infamy.
FDR right there. It is Pearl Harbor Day. It's about 8 o'clock a.m. local time. December 7th, 1941, 75 long years ago, hundreds of Japanese planes swooped in and attacked the American naval base at Pearl Harbor, right near Honolulu, killing over 2,000 Americans, wounding another 1,000, destroying 20 American vessels, including 8 enormous battleships and more than 300 airplanes, therefore bringing us into World War II and the fight against tyranny and evil. You know, one of the great quotes that came out of that didn't come from one of our leaders, came from one of theirs, actually, which I don't think people a lot of people really know. Isoro Yamamoto, one of their great leaders, military, he said afterwards, "I fear all we have done is awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with a terrible resolve," meaning we pissed off somebody that is going to take revenge on us, and that is going to be the only thing in their mind. And we did. We took revenge. We defended ourselves. We helped free millions of people around the world from the hell that was their lives. We took it to both the Germans, to the Italians, and the Japanese. And out of that, we destroyed an axis of evil, and we rebuilt societies in a way that are, well, for all intents and purposes, much kinder and gentler. We should remember this on this day, though, as we talk about the things that we talk about. Don't have to get deep into it. Don't have to do any of those kind of things. But just understand that we need to remember that, you know, it's also a generational thing. You know, I said I was going to talk about this day. I'll be honest with you. Most of my friends who's got kids, they don't care about this. They don't give a rat's ass about Pearl Harbor. Not because they don't love America, or not because they don't care. They don't care about any of the history stuff that happens because they live in the here and the now. They want this like that. They want this, and they want this, and they want... That's what they care about. They don't care about any of the other stuff. They don't. It's literally in a book or maybe on TV. They don't care what the Nazis did. They don't care that Japan attacked us and we fought back. They don't care about the fact that we took on evil. They care about the here and the now. It's good to remind them and show them, look, you know what, grandpa, great-grandpa, grandma, my great-grandmother, God rest her soul, she used to tell me stories working out in Seal Beach, California, of the what was going on, the men shipping out as she worked because her husband had to go off and she had to work. Again, we as America, we came together and we took a blow and we rose. And from that, what did we learn? Well, it happened again on 9/11 and we came again together and we rose and we're still in a continuous fight, but so is the rest of the world with an ideology that is completely out of touch with modern times and has taken a religion and twisted it to its own guise. And here we have the spread of radical Islam and Sharia law and basically thugs and criminals who want to hurt us. People say, what did we learn? We didn't learn anything because we were attacked again. Well, understand, there was a lot of things that went into that. I think a lot of people always believe that FDR and many of the people in the military kind of knew there was the possibility that this may happen. Where we didn't know that on 9/11. FDR wanted to get into the war. He was itching to get into it. He wanted to make sure he saw what was taking place. Hitler and Mussolini, albeit in a very sad way because he couldn't even take Ethiopia, but he saw what was going on. And FDR kind of, you know, and in many ways, I mean, because if you're a study of it, he didn't leave everything there. He got some stuff out some days before because he kind of knew something may be a brewing. Sad but true. But it's good to tell your kids, but also understand when your kids don't quite take it, it's not because they don't care. It's because kids nowadays are different. Not everybody looks at this stuff the same. It's a long time away. Right? It's a long, long time away. In 20 years, kids won't look at 9/11 the same way that we do. Why? Because they didn't live through it. Their parents were, you know, mom and dad weren't really involved in it kind of thing. It's a different time. It's a different scenario. But we should honor the people that died, not only there, but died throughout the war till it finally came to an end. We should honor them, and we should honor the people that have sacrificed since then as well. But when you talk about Pearl Harbor, when you talk about these things, understand a 12-year-old really doesn't grasp it. It's not about being disrespectful. It's just about being 12. He wants to play video games. She wants to go out and hang out with her friends. That's what it is. Because I hear people say, we just don't have any respect anymore. It's not that. It's just a different time. It's a different era. But we definitely need to realize what sacrifices came and the fact that we're able to do the things we do because, once again, we face an absolute opponent and we absolutely had to beat them, and we did. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Love it when you get those text messages. Got a lot of them coming in. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.